In the book of Luke chapter 11, and the word of God says in verse 1, he was praying, and that is Jesus praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John also taught his disciples, he said to them, whenever you pray, it's not if you pray, it's whenever you pray, Jesus said. Say, Father, your name be honored as holy, your kingdom come, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not bring us into temptation. Verse 5, he also said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I don't have anything to offer him. Then he will answer from inside and say, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I have gone to bed. I can't get up to give you anything. I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his friend's shameless boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Turn to Romans chapter 12. Verse 12. And a short verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, be persistent or be devoted in prayer. In Colossians, just to your right of your Bible, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. You may sit down. My desire and my goal this evening in this message is that you would all be devoted to prayer. And as you have been tackling this year in regards to prayer, what a way for you to start the year as a church to come together in regards to growing in prayer together. What a way for us. I mean, I remember last year in our church, the whole month of January, we preached about prayer. So we did not have, I commend you for having 3-night services, three nights in a row. But for us last year, around this time of last year, for the whole month, we talk about prayer. And our theme of 2018 was prayer. And so when Pastor Ronnie messaged me on Facebook, like, hey, can you preach? And this is what we'll be talking about. I jumped to it. I didn't even think twice. I said, you know what? Yes, I'm coming in. Prayer is so important in our walk with God. Amen? Amen. It's so important for us to commune with God. And so again, it is my desire tonight to really talk about prayer, to be devoted. That is my goal, because this is what the Bible calls us to be devoted in our prayer life. I'm convinced that a great many of us in the church today feel inadequate about prayer. You know you ought to pray. You know that God invites and even commands you to pray. He loves to hear from you. Isn't it amazing that our Heavenly Father loves to hear from his children? Amen. I mean, how many of our parents, the moment we walk in from our doors, from work, and we hear the sound of our children, what a joy for us to experience that. But what more for us to come to our Heavenly Father that he longs to hear. It is his will that we as his children come to him and commune with him. That is his desire. Because he loves to know us. He wants to talk to us. We know that we ought to be spending more time in prayer. Amen. You know that. But how many of you pray? How many of you consistently pray? How many of you actually say, when the Bible says pray at all times, how many of you actually pray? Purposely. Intentionally. Not just pray during the meal. Not just pray when you go leave your car. And you even pray looking for a parking spot. Hoping that the handicap will be open. Right? But are those the kind of prayer that God longs to hear from us? Yes, we can pray those little prayers. That's okay. But what kind of prayer that God desires to hear from his children? We know that we need to be spending more time than we actually are. We know that we ought to be praying with greater fervency and expressiveness. And we know that we ought to be praying more frequently in public gatherings. Amen? I mean, it's so important for us as a church to gather together. It is something that my heart's desire this year in our church. Well, we started last Sunday because it's the first Sunday of the year. Well, before we sing, we actually gather together in a small group to pray for whatever needs and pray for our service and pray that God will work in our service for that day. And that God will be glorified and that people will learn to pray in that small group. Well, I'm sure that there are a variety of reasons that would explain why we struggle in this ways. I'm also sure that at least one of the most fundamental reasons is that we do not know how to pray. Isn't that sad? As a believer, as a follower of Christ, we ought to know how to pray. And even you could see from the life of the disciples as we read and as Christ would instruct them and guide them how to pray. You know, from Luke's Gospels that they asked Jesus to what? To teach them. So this is the disciples' prayer. This is not the Lord's prayer. And Christ was giving them a direction in how we ought to pray. The same can apparently be said for at least many of the disciples in the first century as well. Maybe Jesus noticed how infrequently his disciples were praying. Maybe he heard their feeble attempts. That's why when we read the book of Luke chapter 11, verse 2, he guides them to pray. Whatever the case, it is obvious that Jesus knew his disciples needed to be taught how to pray. Whatever reasons that you may have in regards, you know what, you're struggling in your prayer life, that there's no fervency, there's no expressiveness in your prayer life. And tonight, in the last two nights, that you guys been learning how to pray, you just got to pray. You just got to talk to God. The fact that Jesus saw the need to teach his disciples how to pray should encourage those of us who struggle to pray. So don't go quickly in how you see the book of Luke and even the book of Matthew and how Christ guides the disciples how to pray. Christ was concerned about how they commune with the Heavenly Father. And it's the same thing with us. It should encourage us. Our struggles are not unique or unusual, but are common in the church at large. That is not to condone them, but simply to acknowledge that we are not alone in struggling in this way. Jesus anticipated that his disciples would struggle. They would struggle to pray. They sought to remedy the situation by teaching them and us how to pray. If you are that person tonight, that in some way that you're struggling, you're grappling in your prayer life, and here is a key passage that you and I can really be encouraged and see how you and I need to pray. We've all heard messages on the need to pray and the need to witness, and yet most of us struggle because we know we're not doing enough. We know that prayer makes a difference. Amen. Everyone can agree to that, right? I mean, we can pray and we can see and testify in the kindness and the goodness of our God. But yet, it is also the most difficult part of the Christian life. We believe in the power of prayer, but yet, how many of you struggles? How many of you really weak in your prayer life? But even though you believe in it, you know that God can move mountains and you can quote all those things, but you're struggling to commune with the Father. that we can have peace as we pray. And that without prayer, we are powerless. And yet, most of us don't pray like what we should. In one sense, prayer is simple, but yet it is almost also the most difficult part. Ask any believer about their battles, and 9 of 10 will tell you that maintaining a warm and developing a prayer life is one of the greatest challenges, even reading the Bible, right? But how many of you struggle with opening your Facebook in a daily basis? Ouch! Your Instagram, your social media life, or your TV, or whatever you're into, that you spend more time, and yet we're not able to spend adequate time to commune with our Father. Because so many have struggled for so long, it's tempting to not pray. Right? We just get up in the morning and brush our teeth and look at ourselves in the mirror and clean ourselves up, and here we go. Without even taking the time to commune with the Father. But then we feel guilty for not trying harder to cultivate life of prayer. In the end, you'll best learn to pray is by praying. We can read about it all day long. We can study. We can have many services in about prayer. But at the end of it all, you'll just need to close your eyes and what? And pray. Right? I have a lot of books on my Kindle, at home, in my library, about prayer. I could learn from all the past, all my favorite pastors and preachers of the past that are dead, in how they prayed. I could be encouraged and learn from them, but if I'm not praying, I'm still struggling. God desires that we pray. So, of course, my beloved, we're all learning, we're all growing, all reaching for the Lord. Prayer is not passive. Prayer is active. It's really doing something. Prayer is not. It isn't the least we can do. It's the most. Prayer is supernatural. It's reaching out of the visible world into unseen world. You know, when you read the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and how we ought to fight the enemy, how do we fight? Through prayer. Right? We have to grow in our prayer life. Prayer is never secondary. It's always what? Primary. It's not the last recourse when options run out. How many of you as a believer, as a follower of Christ, you don't pray when things are difficult? Wait, what? No. You pray when it's only difficult. But when things are good, you have a difficult time of praying and communing with God. But when you're struggling, God, I need you right now. Help me. The shortest prayer that you could find in the New Testament is what? Help me. But yet, how many of us only do that when it's difficult? Prayer is the central work which causes all other work to bear fruit. No prayer, no power. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, verses 17, verse 20. So you just read the whole chapter of Ephesians. God's greatest works accomplished through prayer. Amen? Doesn't matter how much, how desire, how physical you want to put in into the things that you want to do, without the presence of God, without the power of prayer, without you praying and asking God to lead you and to guide you and to fill you with your spirit, nothing's going to work. We pray now in faith, believing in our prayers are making an eternal difference. There's no greater ministry, no higher calling, no better investment than prayer. Did you hear that? Let me say that again. There is no greater ministry, no higher calling, no better investment than prayer. But how many of you invest so many time in your social media life? If you truly believe that prayer is powerful and that you need it, but how many of us truly spend time in prayer? Prayer is trusting God that He can accomplish more when I'm on my knees. Amen? You know, believers must stay connected in prayer like Wi-Fi. you always want to have great Wi-Fi signal, right? I mean, I come here, I got one bar on my phone, right? But you guys have a Wi-Fi, it's a strong signal. So that strong Wi-Fi is your devotion, right? How many of you struggle when you don't have a signal on your phone? How many of you fight for it? Mom, Dad, I need that. Fix my internet. You go to the hotel room. What is the first thing that you do? You get connected to the Wi-Fi. You go to a Starbucks. What do? You don't look at the, you don't buy coffee. You want to go get Wi-Fi. Because it helps, my beloved, when we are connected in prayer like Wi-Fi, it helps each believer stay connected to the Heavenly Father. The primary point of prayer is not something, but to know someone. Amen. To know someone. It's kind of like a lot of, how many of you are excited about heaven? Amen. How many of you are excited about being in a nice place, not like this place, not like your home? Right? We read the Revelation and how nice and fancy heaven would look like. Well, how many of you are excited to have that experience, right? Is that the point of heaven? No. The point of heaven is to be whom? To be with whom? To be with your Heavenly Father. To be with our Savior Jesus Christ. To be with the rest of the saints. But the point of prayer is not to get something. God, I want this. God, I need this, this and that. It is for us to commune with the Heavenly Father. God knows already our needs. So we need to focus our prayer because of our Father. So we tend to think of prayer as a way to draw down blessings from God. But Jesus thinks of it as a way to draw us up to God. It's not about this, but it's us going to our Heavenly Father. Humbling ourselves, we struggle to spend even a few minutes in prayer because we run out of things to say, since most of us don't have that many needs. But Jesus could spend all night in prayer. He did on at least two occasions in the book of Matthew chapter 14, verse 23 and 25, in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, because he was doing more than simply asking for things. He was communing with his Heavenly Father. It's about us communing. It's about talking to God. It's not about giving our needs to Him. It's about that relationship, to enjoy that relationship. We miss that because we see the most important element of prayer as supplication rather than adoration. You see, we're so quick to tell God, God, this is what my needs are, rather than we come to Him in worship and we adore our Heavenly Father. But the pattern of the Lord's Prayer teaches us something different. So what does it mean to be devoted to prayer? What's remarkable about this word is that 5 of the 10 New Testament uses apply to prayer. And when you look back to Colossians chapter 4, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, devote. I mean, look at the early church in the book of Acts. We are told twice in the first two chapters that they are marked by serious devotion to prayer. I love the early church. You know, you could buy all the books about prayer, but if you look at the example, a biblical example of a church that prays together, who are devoted to prayer, you could see the book of Acts. So let me tell you. If you look at ourselves, we would like to be hard-pressed to think we are characterized by similar attitude. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 14, after the ascension of Jesus, while the disciples were waiting in Jerusalem for the outpouring of the Spirit, check this out, in verse 14 of chapter 1, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to what? To prayer. Along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, of the early converts in Jerusalem, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread, and lastly, to prayer. Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the apostle says, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That is the main goal. That is the desire. And that is the work of the pastor. They recognize the need of prayer and to study the Word of God. One thing is crystal clear from this passage, it is God's will that we pray to Him. Sometimes we struggle to know the will of God for our lives, but there are some things that you do not have to struggle to know. One of them is that God's will is that you pray to Him. The text says, devote yourselves to prayer. God's will for you is to pray to Him. You know, you struggle at times. God, what is your will in my life? And He's telling writers, talk to me. Talk to me. So we may say from the New Testament scriptures that the normal Christian life is a life devoted to prayer. As you should ask, the question is, am I devoted to prayer? Are you? I mean, without answering out loud, where you're sitting, as you have been learning about prayer, the question that you have before you is, am I devoted to prayer? If it is God's will that you and I pray, am I devoted? Am I spending time in prayer the way I ought to? It does not mean that prayer is all you do. Any more than being devoted to a wife means all the husband does is hang out with his wife, right? But his devotion to her affects everything in his life and causes him to give himself to her in many different ways. Right? So being devoted to prayer does not mean that all you do is pray. Although Paul does say in another place, as we would see later on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without what? Pray at all times. Pray without ceasing. What does that look like? It means that there will be a pattern of praying that looks like devotion to prayer. It won't be the same for everyone, but it will be something very significant. Is there a pattern of praying in your life that can fairly be called being devoted to prayer? Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 answers the questions. Even as we look at the book of Luke chapter 11 and how Christ guided the disciples, here Paul shows us how do we pray. How do we pray? We discovered three helpful guidelines in this verse. Devote yourselves, number one. That was just my introduction, by the way. Number one, devote yourselves to prayer. Number two, being watchful, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Continue earnestly or being devoted. Being watchful. Number one, pray with devotion. Devote yourself is a compound word made up of, says to be steadfast or to endure. That's what it means to devote. It's something for you to be steadfast. You'll notice it's a command. Devote yourselves to what? To prayer. To be steadfast or to endure with an added preposition that identifies that meaning. The verb means to be courageously persistent. I love the book of Luke chapter 8 when there's that poor widow. She was persistent in her prayer, in her requests. So we need to be courageously persistent to hold fast and not let go. And that's what it looks like for us to pray, to be devoted in prayer, not let go. How many of us at times when we are praying and we don't see God answers, we give up. And yet the Bible says, do not let go. Not let go. We need to be praying at all times. You have a need. You're hurting. You need to be praying. Your family is lost. They don't know Christ. You don't stop praying. You continually pray for their salvation. The one day that they too will know Christ as their Savior and Lord. You have a child who is a runaway. You have a problem with your home. You have a problem with your anger. Pray. Don't give up. Oh, I'm still angry. I'm still frustrated. I'm still impatient. So pray. Don't give up. It says to hold fast and not let go. Remember when you were a child and you as a parent, when your child, when you're walking with your child and they won't let go of you. Amen? They won't let go. They're holding fast. They're holding on to you. It's the same thing for us. Our attitude is to never let go of God because He hears our prayers. We are to pray at all times in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Luke 18, verse 1. Luke 18, 1. I love that. If you look at that, like I said, that's one of my favorite sections about prayer in Luke 18, verse 1. Now he told them a parable and the need for them to pray always. And that what? I can't hear you, church. Not lose heart. Don't give up. Right? You're in the middle of your prayer. You've been asking God for all these years. Lord, if you're a single woman, you're probably like, Lord, I've been waiting for that husband. Where is he at, God? I'm 40 now. I'm 35 now, or whatever it is. And you're like, God, I want to get married. And you just give up and you get lost and you go to where? And look for someone who's not desirable in the eyes of God, and yet you do follow that. Or whatever situation it may be, you just remember a time where you're supposed to be consistently praying and not lose heart and not give up, right? But you gave up. The believers were responsible to pray. Prayer was their lifeline to God. To devote themselves to prayer, but they should be persistent and unwilling to give up, even though their prayers seem to go what? Unanswered. Right? How does God answer our prayers? Yes, no, or never. No? Let's try again. Yes, no, or wait. Which one is your favorite answer?
Yes.
Come on. That's too easy. There you go. Why? I'm just kind of quizzing you all along the ways, challenge you. You know, in our waiting, we grow. Right? It's kind of like your child comes to you and says, Dad, can I get the money? Did you pray? No? Because I know you're going to give it to me. Here you go. Right? But even in our difficult times, when we struggle, and even in our prayer life, even those things that just comes in our way, waiting is a beautiful picture because it grows us to trust Him even more and more. Their devotion to prayer did not mean that they should spend all their time on their knees, but they should have a prayerful attitude at all times. This attitude will be built upon acknowledging their dependence on God, realizing His presence within them, and determining to obey Him fully. Devotion is effort, right? Listen to this. Devotion is effort, not skill. Fortunately, being devoted does not take skill. It doesn't take some kind of special prayer abilities. All it takes to be devoted to prayer is to simply be devoted to what? To prayer. Are you devoted to your wife, Pastor? Right? There you go. Right? There are no tricks. There is no magic. There is no good lucks, right? There are no shortcuts, right? As Athela was saying in regards to, you know how you go through that mail chain, this and that, if you pray and you follow, that's so what I'm looking for. Don't get involved in that. It's junk. There's no biblical in that. Amen. There's no trusting in God in that. Doesn't matter if they say some Bible words in there. It's not mean anything. Just as we can't be devoted to our favorite hobby, right? There's no shortcut without actually doing it often. So it is with prayer, right? I mean, you like to play basketball, right, Pastor Ronnie? You play with Pastor Joffrey and the others, right? It takes work. You just can't say that I'm good at basketball without you doing it, right? You can't be Kobe Bryant or LeBron James, right? It takes work. You know, I was meditating on this message last night. I don't know what time I went to bed. Well, I was in bed, but I just kept turning around and around. I was meditating the message. And one thing that came up to me, you know, this past week, right, this week in the Philippines, they celebrated what? In Capo, what did they celebrate? Right? The Black Nazarene. Can I tell you what the word I was looking for that reminded me of? Those people were what? Devoted. Okay, so you guys grew up in the Philippines. I've been to Quiapo, maybe I passed. I was born in Mandaluyong outside, not inside. Right? That's an inside joke, right? But when I saw the picture of my cousin with how she wished that she was there with all those people, and I was like, really? But in my mind, I'm just thinking, wow, those people are really devoted to what? What are they devoted to? To worship. Right? They go from, I asked my wife earlier, you know, she's from Tondo, from the inside. And so she've heard and she's seen how people come and flock from different parts of the Philippines, and they what? They go to this place and worship for how long? 21 hours. How many of you prayed and devoted yourself to prayer? How many of you are kind that person, like those people, are so devoted to go, to travel, and just to be what? Being devoted to prayer is similar to cheering on your sports team, regardless whether they're winning or losing. That means when the Clippers beat the Lakers, you will still root for the Lakers and not be a bandwagon and go to Warriors. Right? You'll still be devoted. I mean, if you're a true Laker fan, you will not be devoted to other teams. Right? But now you're very devoted to Lakers. Why? We're not preaching about the Lakers tonight. Paul is saying something quite simple. Very simple, church. And what Paul is saying is keep praying. Keep praying. Don't bail. Don't give up. Be faithful. You may have dry times and days when you don't know what to say, but keep praying anyway. Right? Then they would find it natural to pray frequent and spontaneous and short prayers. See, our Lord told two parables illustrating the importance of persistent prayer in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. So read with me in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. And here's the two parables that Christ mentioned. As we read 11 earlier, let's read this second part. In the book of Luke chapter 18, and this is what the word of God says. Now he told them a parable on the need for them to pray always and not give up. There was a judge in a certain town who did not fear God or respect people. And a widow in that town kept coming to him, saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he was unwilling, but later he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or respect people, yet because this widow keeps pestering me, I will give her what? I will give her justice so that she does not wear me out by her persistent coming." Then the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God grant justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay helping them? I tell you that he will swiftly grant them justice. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" You look at that. Look at what the Lord said. Will not God? Will he delay? Has God delayed in your prayer requests? God is there. You just gotta keep praying. Don't give up. The point of those parables is that unwilling and sinful humans will honor persistence. How much more will our holy, loving Heavenly Father? will answer our prayers. True prayer often involves struggling and contending with God, proving to him the deepest concern of one's heart. Prayer is to be a persistent, courageous struggle from which the believer may come away limping. Such prayer gives a believer a holy boldness to pray forcefully when convinced of God's will. Paul does not leave us just an exhortation. So point number two. He also gives a couple of tips on how to remain devoted in our praying. What's the second part? Back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says what? Pray with watchfulness, being vigilant in it. Being vigilant, or pray with watchfulness. It says, verse 2 continues by saying that we're to be watchful or awake when we pray. Right? Paul told the believers in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, to not go asleep, but to instead be alert and self-controlled as the same time approaches for the Lord's return. This exhortation brings to mind the words of Jesus to his disciples the night before he was crucified in the book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 34 and 38. What did Jesus say? Stay here and what? Keep watch. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into what? See, even the disciples struggled in their prayer life. Right? How many times did Christ tell them to what? Stay awake. He comes back. Stay awake. You can't even stay awake. Right? How many of us pray and you pray with your spouse? Like, I'm praying with you. No, I'm with you. I just have my eyes closed. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, please. Church, one thing that you and I need to understand, when you and I look at our culture, we are in a spiritual battle. Wherever we go, even the social media that you look at every single time, know this, you are in spiritual battle. We need to stay on high alert at all times. Remember when 9/11, right after 9/11, right? We were always in high alert. We were always being watchful for the enemy, right? Okay? Now you guys have Ring doorbell. You're watchful who's going in your door, right? If someone's going to take your package outside of your door from Amazon or from wherever you order, right? You're being watchful, right? You're being alert. Right? How many of you get alerts on your phone right now that the pastor is preaching too long? Right? But yet, church, we need to understand this in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It truly paints a real picture of war that we are in. Okay? In 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he what? He might devour. It says, be self-controlled and alert. You know what that is in the original language? Wake up! That's what it means. Right? Now you guys are all awake. I mean, I'm sorry, Pastor, for... Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. What's that look like in your personal life, in a daily basis? You know, you get so busy. I know I say a lot about social media because we're in that culture, right? And that's okay. Because even our seniors are in Facebook. Amen? So if you're not careful, you're always like, how long have I been here? Like, who's dating who? Who's getting married? What happened to him or her, right? You get all caught up with all that stuff. Next thing you know, the enemy is watching you. The enemy is watching you. The spirit is willing, but the body is what? Weak. Watchful prayer provides a spiritual fortitude to face down temptation. Because Peter could not stay awake when he was supposed to pray. He gave in to what? To the temptation. And denied our Savior. He denied his Savior. He denied Christ. Not once. Not twice. Three times. And denied Christ a few hours later. Christians should choose times when they are awake and alert to pray. More on that in our application, if I get there. Paul's thoughts here, however, is broader than mere physical alertness. He also means that believers should look for those things about which they ought to be praying. Christians sometimes pray vague, general prayers that are difficult for God to answer because they do not really ask anything specific. There's nothing difficult for God, amen? But sometimes our prayer is so vague and it's very general, right? To be devoted to prayer requires something specific to pray for, right? How are you going to be persistent in your prayer, right? If you're a single man, you're going to be persistent. Lord, I see this woman. I'm being specific, right? God, this is the job that I desire. May your will be done. I'm going to keep asking you. God, this is the school that my heart's desire to be in. I want to be used. I want to be plugged in here. I want to go here. God, this is the church I want to be a part of. Be specific. You can't just say, God, you know what I want. It's not like you go to your parents. You go to them, what do you want? You know what I want. No, seriously, what do you want? We go specifically to our Heavenly Father. We will never persistently pray for something we're not concerned about. That's the key. See, we have something specific that we pray because that concerns our heart. Amen? You see your brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need. Pray for that. Come alongside. You're struggling how to come alongside of your brothers and sisters. Pray specifically. Pray persistently. That God will use you. That God will give you an opportunity to come along. You got to do that. So you need to be specific in your prayer because it concerns you. Aren't you concerned about your child? Aren't you concerned about your parents? Aren't you concerned about your pastor? Pray specifically for your pastor. Pastor, what can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? How many of you have done that this year? Well, it's only been 11 days. We will never persistently pray for something, again, church, that we're not concerned about. To be concerned, we must be alert to specific needs. Amen. Number three, pray with thankfulness. It says right there. So we have to be continuing earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. We should never pray without thinking of at least one thing to thank God for. Amen? Man, you just look back this past year. Despite of the struggles, despite of the challenges, despite of all the pain and the hurts that you've gone through, there are many things that you could express to your Heavenly Father of thanksgiving. Right? God, how many of you have prayed, thank God, thank you, Lord, for these trials? Thank you for allowing me to wait. Yeah. Right? Thank you. When we see answers to prayer, we will pray more. He's given us so many things. We can thank him for his presence. We can thank him for his provision, his pardon, his promises, and for his purposes. God is faithful. Amen? Amen. Listen to how Paul puts his own preaching into practice in the book of Colossians. As Paul had mentioned several times, look with me. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. Okay? You see how thankful Paul is. I love the Apostle Paul. I love how he sets a great example. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, we always thank God. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father. Chapter 2, verse 7. Being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith just as you were taught and overflowing with what? With thanksgiving or with gratitude. Chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. The believers ought always to be what? to be thankful. That has to be our attitude. Thankfulness implies understanding all that God has done, anticipating what He promises. Verse 2 asks the question, how do we pray? And focuses on the characteristics of prayer. We do so how? With devotion, right? With watchfulness and thankfulness. I know I went over my time, but let me give you some application. You know, when Paul says to pray without ceasing, Paul says simple words, but a seemingly impossible challenge. How can you be expected to pray at all time or all the time? Begin every day with God. Amen. What a great attitude that you and I as a child of God is to begin every day with God. Right? Not with your Facebook statuses. Not with your email, if you're into that. Not with your news, not with the coffee. But begin every day with God. It is our wisdom and duty to begin every day with our Father. You always have something to talk to God about. He's a dear friend, so it is a pleasure to know Him personally and to walk with Him intimately. He is also Lord over you and over everything that touches your life. Shall a servant not talk to his master? Shall a dependent not talk to his provider? Shall one in danger not converse with his defender? God, I'm in trouble. Right? Talk to Him. Let no obstacle hinder you from coming to God. Though God is in heaven, He will hear your cries from the depths. God already knows what you need, but He requires your prayers for His glory and to fit you to receive mercy. Begin every day with Him and give Him the best part of your day. Amen? Isn't it amazing when you begin your day with God to commune with Him? Before everything else gets so busy and chaos in your life, right? So here's an application. When we talk about how to pray, you know, we just talk about just pray. But you got to be intentional. Just like everything else, you have to be purposeful, right? And so here's an application. Here's a challenge. If you're not praying in the morning or the moment you wake up, or even you struggle to, you're not a morning person, God can give you the power and ability to get up early enough. Amen? So meet with Him. Spend every day with God. You need to begin with the day with God, but you also need to spend the day with God. In Psalm chapter 25, verse 5, "For you I wait all the day long." This involves patience, expectation of God to come at His time. It involves a constant attendance upon the Lord in the duties of personal worship. It says to wait upon the Lord. To wait upon God is to live a life of desire towards Him. Constant dependence is the attitude of a child toward his father. So wherever you go, whatever you do each day, search for abundant reasons for prayer and praise. Right? You could do that. You could commune with God. Not just early in the morning, but even throughout the day. Even while you're working from 7 to 4 or 8 to 5 hours. Or even when you're at school or whatever you're doing at home. You could what? Commune with the Father. As James wrote in chapter 5, verse 13. If you are sad, then pray to God. If you are happy, then sing praises to God. That covers all of life. And lastly, close every day with God. Just as you begin your days with God and you spend your days with God, you should also close your days with God. You may end each day in contentment only because you have the Lord as our God. I mean, how many of us really think about that? It's like, God, thank you for this day. Despite of, wow, my co-worker, oh, my boss was just all over me. Man, my classmate, my teacher was just giving me such a headache. But Lord, I lay down in my bed just thanking you for the day. Thank you for your provision. Every drop we drink shows His mercy. Every step we take and every breath that we draw shows His mercy. You should be thankful for nighttime as God's provision for your rest, for a place to lay your head, and for the health of your body, peace of mind, which allows you to sleep. You can lay down and sleep in grace. Whew. Amen. Oh God, may I wake up in the morning for your glory and for your sake as I rest tonight. Resting your soul upon the intercession of Christ to grant you peace with God, and forgiving your fellow man of all their offenses against you, and that your heavenly Father may be at peace with you. Begin the day with God. Spend the day with God. Close the day with God. This life of communion with God, a constant attendance upon Him, is a heaven upon earth. A final word on prayer. In the end, the way you'll best to learn to pray is by what?
Praying.
By praying. I only have three witnesses. We can read about all day long, but at the end of it all, you just need to close your eyes and
pray.
I didn't hear you.
Pray.
There are no experts in prayer except our Savior Jesus Christ. I'm not an expert in prayer. There are times I struggle in my prayer life. Right now, I'm enjoying my prayer life. And there are times that there's a dry season in my prayer life, but I get up by God's grace and continue that. One thing, church, is this, including myself, we are all learning. Amen?
Amen?
We are all growing, all reaching for the Lord. Would you please pray for your pastor?
Amen.
I only have four witnesses. You know, I love Charles Spurgeon. One thing that he said, that the best thing a man can do is to pray for him. Right? As much as he likes to be adored as Denzel Washington. He's my favorite actor, but that's not your pastor. As much as he loves shoes. See, I'm stalking him.